All right. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12 to 15. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12 to 15. When you found it, if you all stand for an honor of God's Word. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 12 to 15. When you found it, just yell amen.
Amen.
Come on. 1 Samuel 17, verse 12 to 15. And God's Word says, "Now David was a son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." And tonight we're going to look at take care of his sheep. Take care of his sheep. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. Again, thank you for this great church. Thank you for the great man of God you've given us here. Lord, I just thank you for that servant. Lord, I pray you bless up there in Spanish Church. Be with him. I thank you for the servants here in this room, Lord. It's really an honor to come before you and be able to be to serve with these great folks here in this room. Lord, I pray you bless the message, Lord. I pray you use it. God, I pray that you do work tonight, Lord. We love you and thank you. All this we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross
blessed in having Ryan, Sarah, and my Sunday school class. Is this thing on? Are we on here? Okay. Blessed in having a Sunday school class. They're a blessing to me. It's never a dull moment in the Beacons of Light Sunday school class. I promise you that. We have a good time. So if you ever want to come up and have something to eat and drink some coffee, usually Brother Griffin takes care of most of our coffee and our food while he's passing by ushering. But if you ever want to come up, please feel free to come into our class. And praise the Lord, Brother Ryan, Miss Sarah. It's a blessing. A preacher was preaching a message one Sunday morning, and he was really getting with it, having a good time. He's preaching on the sin and the wickedness of alcohol. And man, he's preaching, and he's getting with it, and he says, man, if I could get all the beer, I'd gather all the beer I could and dump it in the river. And people go, yeah, amen, amen. He starts preaching again, gets going. All of a sudden he gets fired up, rah, starts yelling. If I can gather all the wine in the world, I'd take all the wine I could and dump it in the river. And people are going, yeah, praise God. Now they're jumping on the pews, you know, jumping around, having a good time. And so he starts preaching, and he wants to add one more big hit to it in a big moment. He says, if I could gather all the liquor in the world, I'd gather all the liquor and dump it in the river. And people are shouting. They're like just jumping on the sand chandeliers, man, having a good time. Revival's breaking out. Everything's going great. Up until the time when during the invitation, the pianist comes up to the piano and starts playing Shall We Gather by the River. Amen. So, I'm not preaching on alcohol tonight, and no, we're not going to any river. But 1 Samuel 17, if you look in verse 15, kind of the verse I want to focus on, it says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes one more time as we go to our Lord in prayer. Father, again, I love you and thank you. I pray you bless this message. I need your power tonight. I pray that you'd use the message, Lord, I'm nothing but a sinner saved by your grace, Lord. I thank you as we saw this morning, that brazen altar, the sacrifice, Lord, and I thank you for the sacrifice you made on Calvary for us. I pray that you would just bless this message, use it be with every single person in the room. I pray you'd help it to be a help and a blessing to them. We love you and thank you. Also, we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen. It's good to have my in-laws, Roy and Marlene Bowman, here. They're a blessing. Roy can fix anything. He's an absolute blessing. And he's broken. Roy always usually takes care of it. He's a great man, and they're a blessing. They're spoiling our grandkids, which most grandparents are supposed to do. Praise the Lord. They say hi to Kelly and I occasionally, but they take care of most of the grandkids. So it's good to have them here. They're a blessing. 1 Samuel 17, 12 to 15. Let me give you some background in those three verses. Let me give you some background leading up to 1 Samuel 17, 12 to 15. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you would. Back to one chapter. We're going to look at verse 14, and then we're going to look at verses 21 to 23. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, and then verse 21 to 23. And it says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And then go to verse 21 to 23. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You see here, folks, David was staying with King Saul, both as his armor bearer and as harpist. And whenever Saul was troubled, man, you know the story of how the kingdom was rent from King Saul, and God was going to give it to another. That was eventually King David. And you know the story of what happened there. But Saul got those evil spirits upon him, and one of his servants said, listen, Saul, you need someone who can play a harp. When they play that good, godly music, it will get rid of that evil spirit. And by the way, folks, good, godly music will get your heart be tender and keep your heart right. That's why we have some good invitations before the preaching. And get it in your car, get it in your home, get it everywhere you can. That stuff will bless you. It's a blessing. And so King Saul, his servant said, get a harpist. So so King Saul said, who can I get? And the servant said, well, I know this guy named David. He is a shepherd boy. His dad's name is Jesse. Why don't you call him? So Saul calls David, and he comes, and he's a harpist. And sure enough, every time David plays that harp, that evil spirit departs from him. Now, go turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're just leading up here to verse 12. Go to verse 3 and 4 of chapter 17, and then we're going to look at 8 and 9 and 11. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verses 3 and 4. It says, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was six cubits and a span. And go to verse 8 and 9. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, then let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And go to verse 11, and it says, When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now we just saw what happened when David was at the king's quarters at Saul being a blessing to him, playing the music. Now right after that, the next scene that we see is Goliath. All of a sudden the Philistine army comes up to Israel and wants to fight him. And this man named Goliath, big man, huge man, says, I want to fight. Just give me one of your Israelites men, and I'll take him down. Just whoever you want. And Goliath says, if the Israelite camp wins, if that one man beats me, we'll serve you, Israel. But if you guys lose to me, if one of your men loses to me, Goliath says, then you're going to serve us. And it's pretty interesting to note, it says, choose you a man for you, let him come down to me. Something interesting, a little gold nugget of truth from the Bible. You know that in the Bible, the Bible says the earth was round, something they should have known before 1492 or to help them. And then in the Bible it says that the life is in the blood, something that George Washington probably could have helped him for that bloodletting. Well, the Bible also, it tells us about the earth, it tells us about life is in the blood, it also tells us about how to make stadiums. The people are up, and then up in the mountains, and Goliath was in the valley. That's how you build a stadium. Praise the Lord. Another nugget of truth for you. Amen. Thought I'd throw that in there for you. So there's many more nuggets in here, folks. I tell you, you can find them for yourself. Just grab one and take it home. Tell you what, I'm gonna patent that one. I was kidding. But but the words of Goliath put a spirit of fear in everyone. Nobody in the Israelite army wanted to fight Goliath. No one did. Nobody wanted to do anything about it. And this here leads us up to our passage of Scripture in verse 12 to 15. In verse 12 to 15, we saw David's three oldest brothers going down to the battle. They were going to try to participate in the battle, be a help. But where did David go? David went home, back to his father's sheep. Now let me give you the direction or the application I'm trying to head to, and I'll follow up with a few points. In the early days of David's life, he knew his priority was to take care of those sheep. And taking care of those sheep kept his heart right, prepared him for the position of king of Israel, which he would one day serve. Those sheep were not his. They were his father's sheep. We saw that in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 17, verse 15. It says, But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. Those sheep weren't his. But those sheep trained him, and they helped him. They were his father's sheep. And tonight, I'm speaking to everyone in this room who might be working in a Sunday school class, or on a bus route, or some kind of area where you are interacting and trying to help other people. But what you're doing, you're taking care of God's sheep. And by the way, if you're saying, Brother Jason, I'm not working on a bus route. I'm not in a Sunday school class. I don't help out in any of those areas. Please don't shut me out. Hang on, because I promise you, this message can apply to you as well. Let me just say, though, to you, if I could tonight, those people that were trying to help, if you're in a Sunday school class, soul winning, or any ministry that you're doing, those people you're trying to help are not your sheep. They're God's sheep. Don't turn there, but John chapter 21, verse 16 says, He saith to him, Jesus talking, He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter, he saith unto him, Yea, is Peter talking now, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus says, He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Those sheep that were taken care of, those people were ministering to, they're God's sheep. And he's giving us responsibility, the privilege of taking care of his sheep. God gives us a privilege and a responsibility of being a help and a blessing to those sheep, those people. Now, like I said before, if you're in this room and you don't think you're in a position of helping someone, you're not in a Sunday school class, you're not in a bus route, you're not in any type of ministry, please don't shut me out because this applies to you as well, just like everybody else. And let me just bear with me, if you will. So what I'm trying to say tonight to you, child of God, take care of his sheep. Take care of his sheep. Some thoughts about taking care of his sheep. Point number one, you're never too big take care of God's sheep. You're never too big to take care of God's sheep. Go to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15. Man, I, 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 I was jumping preparing this message. I usually jump anyway, but I was jumping preparing this message. It was exciting to me, so please, I usually talk fast anyway. I'm going to try to talk very slow, which usually doesn't happen, but we'll do our best. 1 Samuel 17:15 says, "But when David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Now, folks, where was David working up to this point? He was working for Saul. Man, that's the king. That was the top number one man in the land. And David, where was he at? He was with the king. He was helping the king. He was an armor bearer. He pleased Saul. He fixed Saul's problem. Saul probably gave him the best meat in the house, probably gave him the most comfiest bed, because when David took care of Saul's problems, Saul was happy. So Saul probably took really good care of him. But here's the thing. Time ended when David had to stop helping King Saul. And he didn't go over to the battle, Mr. Big Shot. He didn't go down to the battle and say, "Hey, I'm King's armor bearer. Hey, no, I'm the harpist that makes King Saul feel better. I'm going to go to the army." Know where he went? He went back to his father's sheep. He wasn't too big to go back to him. Man, he wasn't too big to help his daddy to go back. Because why? That's where he learned. That's where he got instruction. And that was what he was supposed to do. And let me tell you something. Hey, you're never too big to help somebody. Ever. I tell you what, folks, if you're on a bus route, man, stay on the bus route. Remember Brother Brown, when he was here on Wednesday night, he talked about that man who was making a lot of money. And they asked him if he wanted to move, get relocate his job. And he said no. They asked, "Why aren't you going to relocate?" And he said, "Why? My bus route's right here." Man, that man wasn't too big to help his father's sheep. Listen, folks, you're never too big to help your father's sheep. Hey, listen, if you're in Sunday school class, stay in Sunday school class. Give it your all. Pray over those Sunday school kids. Do everything you can to be a blessing to those Sunday school kids. If you're on a bus route, I tell you what, stay on that bus route. Love those kids. You're not too big for that. Man, you're not too big. Listen, I know it's disgusting, but one of the kids loses his lunch. Are you too big to clean it up? That's pretty disgusting. Man, be a blessing and be a help. And I'm throwing an example out there for you, of course. But listen, we're never too big to help our to go back and to feed our father's sheep, to help our father's sheep, take care of our father's sheep. Go to John chapter 13, if you would. John chapter 13, verses 3 to 5. You're never too big to take care of your father's sheep. John chapter 13, verses 3 to 5. It says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." Let me just stop there for a second. Verse 3, Jesus Christ knew he was coming from God, and he was going to God. He was the Son of God. Man, he was... He's better than any king on earth. He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That same king we saw in verse 3. Look what happens in verse 4. "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them, that the towel wherewith he was girded." Folks, I think that was the ultimate picture of servanthood. Back in those days, they wore sandals. They walked on dirt roads. They didn't have nice, neat shoes that were totally enclosed. Their feet were dirty. Their feet were stinky. They smelled funny. And you know what? When Jesus Christ, when he was done with supper, and he was at the Last Supper there, you know what he did? Knowing he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knowing that he came from God and was going back to God, that same King of Kings and Lord of Lords got a towel, got on his knees, and he washed his disciples' feet. Took care of the sheep. You're never too big to take care of your sheep. Take care of his sheep. You're never too big. Listen, the moment you think, "I don't need to do that anymore. I don't need to do that bus ride anymore. I don't need to do that Sunday school class anymore. You're too big." Man, listen, that's the same sheep that Jesus Christ died on the cross for. You know? Me and you and everybody who's saved tonight, he died on the cross for the whole world, of course. But those who got saved as Jesus Christ in heart, they're Jesus' sheep. And those sheep that he died for, we're taking care of them. Are you too big for that? Man, and I'm speaking to myself too. Maybe sometimes you get up in the morning, you're like, "Oh, I go to teen church today, man, I tell you what." And you have the same kid who's giving me trouble 3 weeks in a row because they play on their cell phone or they won't talk or whatever. Or hugging the big cabinet. Amen, Brother Mickey knows what I'm talking about over there. If you're in teen church, you know what I'm talking about. But and you have teenagers and like, and you know what? And you're thinking and same poison thought in your mind. Man, come on. Why are you doing this stuff? Hey, you're never too big to take care of his sheep. Amen. I tell you what, you're never too big. And when you think you're too big, then you are too big. Hey, child of God, if you're in this room and you minister to some people here in this church, if you ever think that you're too big to minister to them, then that they're a waste of time, or you've got better things to do, then you're just too big. James chapter 4, verse 6 kind of puts things in perspective. It says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Hey, when you get too big, that's pride sinking in. And God says, "I'm resisting you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be God. Hey, I'm full of pride just like anybody else in this room. We all struggle with it. You know, we all do. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that guy who's God resists me. I don't want to be that person." So take care of his sheep. You're never too big to take care of his sheep. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher and had a new boy join his class. He wasn't too big for God's sheep, so he did some checking around and found out that boy worked at the Holton shoe store. Mr. Kimball found that boy in the stockroom of that shoe store, and there in that room he witnessed to that boy and shared with him the love of Christ. It was shortly thereafter that Dwight Lyman Moody accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Man, if that guy was too big, that kid's in my class, why should I waste my time and go to a shoe store? I'll see him next Sunday. What if he never told him the gospel? What if D.L. Moody never got saved? What would have happened to all the souls in England, all the souls all over the world that the Lord used him to be an influence to? You're never too big to take care of God's sheep. And here's something that might blow your mind. Hey, what if you are taking care of the next D.L. Moody? You know, what if you're taking care of next Susanna Wesley, who raised those great men of God? What if you're taking care of the next amazing preacher? You can fill in the blank. What if you're the one, they're in your class, or they're on your bus, or you see them in a soul-winning visit, and you see them saved, and you help bring them to church? Hey, what if that's the next man of God that's something great for you? You're never too big to take care of his sheep, folks. I tell you what. So, Brother Jason, how is me continuing to minister to people going to help me? Well, it will keep you humble, and God will give you grace. And that kind of grace will get you through hard times. Listen, you're never too big to take care of his sheep. Point number two. God enables you when you take care of his sheep. God enables you when you take care of his sheep. Go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 and 33. God enables you when you take care of his sheep. First Samuel 17, verse 32 to 33. It says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Now here we see that David said to Saul, "Hey Saul, listen." David finally comes down and sees the Israelites. His dad tells him to bring some food to your brother. So he goes, and he goes there and he sees that no one is going down to face Goliath. So David finally said, "Listen, if no one's going to fight Goliath, I'm going." So David goes to Saul and says, "Hey, King Saul, I want to go and fight Goliath." And in the beginning, Saul's first response, which you just read, says, "Wait a minute, you can't fight Goliath. How are you going to fight Goliath?" And you see, we'll see the response here in 1 second, but David didn't respond by saying, "Hey, listen, I got my training when I was an armor bearer for King Saul. That was his response to King Saul. David didn't say, "Hey, King Saul, I got my training when I was a harpist." You know where David said he got his training? Look at verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." You know where he got that training? When he was taking care of his father's sheep. Hey, God will give you the training to do something great when you're taking care of his sheep. Listen, not only are you not too big to take care of his sheep, but he will train you. He will give you training for the real world problems. That when you take care of his sheep, he will give you training to help you in the real world problems you're going through. Listen, being an armor bearer or a harpist didn't give him the training to handle the real world problems, but working with sheep did. Michael Jordan, you all know, whom ESPN named the greatest North American athlete of the 20th century, of the Chicago Bulls to 6 NBA championships in an 8-year time span. Since his retirement, no player in the NBA has come close to his individual or team achievements. The secret to his success is the thousands of hours that he practiced. It wasn't the gravity-defying dunks that he spent the majority of his time working on, or his fancy dribbling between his legs, but rather the fundamentals, like free throw shots, and layups. It was the basics, not the glamorous things that day in and day out that enabled him and led him to his great career. Hey, listen, folks, what I'm saying is, when you take care of God's sheep, when you're doing the basics day in and day out, just going on that bus route, just going to that Sunday school class, when just soul winning, knocking on doors, what you're doing is God's enabling you. He's preparing you to be a better father, to be a better mother, to be a better son, to be a better daughter. He's giving you the tools to help you go out and face real world problems. David got his training to fight the giant, not when he was helping Saul when he was in a glamorous spotlight, but when he was home in the mud helping the sheep. He would fight off the bear, he would fight off the lion, and God gave him the training he needed for later on in life. And that's where God gives us the training, taking care of his sheep. So you're probably going to say to me, Brother Jason, how is me working in a Sunday school class or on a bus route going to help me deal with real world problems like the problems I face at work? Well, it'll give you patience, number one. It will give you perseverance. James chapter 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You work with people and eventually your heart's going to get broken. That's going to happen, folks. We all probably can tell testimonies in this room of bus kids, teenagers, adults, whatever. You fill in the blank of someone we tried to work with that either turned their back on us, walked out, did something bad, and it broke our heart. But hey, man, you stay at it. You don't leave. You stay where you're at, and the Lord's going to prepare you. He'll help you get a burden for someone else. He'll heal that broken heart. He'll mend it, and he'll strengthen you. So the next person that comes along and wants to run away, you'll try twice as hard to keep that person from running away. It will give you the perseverance. It will give you the patience to deal with problems at work. Hey, listen, when you work on a bus route, you need patience. For sure, you work on a bus route, you need patience. We have some great bus workers, and sometimes when things get a little bit out of hand, only once a year, I think, but sometimes when things get a little bit out of hand, and what do you need? You need patience. So you get patience on the bus route, and then you go to work, and you find that your boss or someone else is really trying your patience. Well, man, God's given you a whole bunch of patience on the bus route, and now you don't slip your tongue at work because he's giving you the patience. You don't say something stupid, and you don't lose your job. And in fact, you keep your job and you get a raise, all because of the bus route. Bigger tithe, praise God. Amen. So throw that in there for the mission, for faith promise there. Praise the Lord. But listen, if you work with people, your heart's going to get broken eventually. But when you are taking care of God's sheep, he's enabling you for the real world problems. Don't minimize it, folks. Satan puts it in our head, it's just people I'm working with. No, you're not. You're working with God's sheep. You're working, what you have before you is an amazing task. I remember a guy said, a missionary came through at Heritage Baptist Church in Wallingford, Connecticut. He was a great man of God, and he was a good missionary. I don't remember his name, it was a long time ago. But he said he was out of church one day, and he was preaching, and this millionaire came up to him. And so the missionary says to the millionaire, hey, what's your name? And the millionaire said, my name is Bob Jones or whatever. And so the missionary says, hey, Bob Jones, what do you do for a living? What is your occupation? And Bob Jones responded and says, my occupation is working a bus route. I just work a job on the side to pay the bills. And hey, he had the right perspective. I tell you what, if our perspective is when you work on a bus route, you have the best job in the world. When you work in a Sunday school class, you have the best job in the world. Hey, listen, when you go out soul winning, you have the best job in the world. When you're doing anything to help other Christians, help other people, you have the best job in the world. And I tell you what, when you take care of God's sheep, God enables you when you take care of his sheep. Point number three, God will promote you when you take care of his sheep. God will promote you when you take care of his sheep. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 1. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now go to verse 11 of chapter 16. You kind of figure out where I'm going with this, but you know where they found David when he anointed him king. Look at verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and beholdeth, he keepeth the sheep. Folks, you know where God called David? When he was keeping the sheep. Listen, God prepares you when you keep the sheep. You're never too big to take care of his sheep. And God will promote you when you take care of his sheep. He will do something amazing. She would take care of the sheep. I remember when I first got saved and the Lord led me to Heritage Baptist Church and I was in the church and all I wanted to do was be a blessing. I love Pastor Bish, love the church. You know, I wish the doors were open all the time. I just wanted to be there and help out. I wasn't called to ministry at that point, at least I didn't think I was. And all I wanted to do was help. That's all I wanted to do. And so I would help in junior church, and we had a junior church up there, and I preached, and we had a good time, and it helped out, and helped Brother Gatos out, and then we did a good time just seeing kids saved, and then there was a lady across the hall named Miss Diane. She was always in a bad mood, so we'd go over and throw marshmallows at her to kind of cheer her up, praise the Lord. So anyway, that's another side thing for you. But so anyway, we were there in the junior church, and all I wanted to do was help. I just helped. I loved helping. So we served, and then lo and behold, one day I was on the way home, driving home from work, and all of a sudden listened to a preacher, and it's like, God spoke to me audibly, "Hey, I want you in the ministry, Jason." I'm like, whoa, what'd you just say? Like, holy cow, I went home to my wife, we all cried for a while, and then we talked to Pastor Bish and realized that's what God wants us to do. But the point I'm trying to say, folks, I know I'm not saying that when you work with God's sheep, when you feed his sheep, take care of his sheep, that he's going to call you in the ministry, but he will promote you. Hey, he'll make you a better father. He'll make you a better teacher. He'll make you a better person. He'll make you a better instructor at work. He'll promote you and do something amazing with you. He'll do great things with you. And the best thing of all, he'll promote you to see somebody get saved, praise the Lord, one day. There's nothing better than seeing a soul saved. Amen, Brother Jake Smith. That's a blessing, brother. But I tell you what, I caught him off guard there. But I tell you, there's nothing better when you see someone get saved. There's nothing, not better promotion than watching someone get saved and watching them grow. Man, you see him saved, and you see him grow in the Lord, you see him come to church, and you see good things happen to him. Man, there's nothing better than that. And if, for those of you who are taking care of God's sheep in some ministry, you have that wonderful opportunity to, Lord willing, see someone get saved and watch people grow. Nothing better than doing that. Remember, when I was a kid, I was in biology class, and I first learned what plants are all about. I always thought plants just, you know, were there. You know, I didn't know that. I was in third grade. You know, I thought the sun was made out of cheese at that point, too. But anyway, I remember the teacher gave us a little seed. And he put the seed in some paper towels. And I'm thinking, okay, what's the seed going to do? It was a little dinky little seed, all right? So I'm like, oh, whatever, teacher. You're the teacher. I'm the student. So I was sitting in class. I said, come back. Well, and he started teaching us, you know, every now and then I'm looking over at the seed. I'm like, okay, this guy's wrong. The seed's still there. But the funniest thing happened 3 days later. That seed started sprouting some things, like, holy cow, it's an alien. I'm like, what? I never saw it happen before. And it started sprouting, and then he eventually let it sprout some more, and he put it in a little bit of soil, and lo and behold, a little bush came out, and I watched that plant grow, and it was something amazing to see that metamorphosis, that change from little seed up to a sprouting plant. That's what it is when you watch a Christian grow. And God will promote you when you take care of his sheep. He will do amazing things when you take care of his. I've seen God make people's washing machines run longer. I've seen him make their car run longer. I've seen God make their 10-year-old shingle roof last 30 years and never fallen. I've seen God do amazing things with people who takes care of their sheep. He promotes them. He protects them. He blesses them. Listen, if you take care of his sheep, the benefits are out of this world, folks. Nothing better than taking care of his sheep. God will enable you He will promote you when you take care of his sheep. So you're probably going to ask me, Brother Jason, how is me working in a Sunday school class or on a bus route or going soul winning or ministering somehow going to promote me? How's that going to promote me? Well, look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Listen, folks, when you take care of your sheep, it will promote you. It will keep your heart right. I don't think it's possible. Now, I could be wrong here. I don't think it's possible for a person at one time who's serving God all of a sudden get cold to God and backslide horribly and get out of the will of God, still stay in a Sunday school class. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible for a bus captain or a bus worker or a faithful soul winner who was once serving God all of a sudden backslide and still do all those things, be a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker or a soul winner. I don't think it's possible to keep doing it, because then you're doing it on your own effort, not on God's strength and God's grace, and eventually you're going to stop doing it. And the point I'm trying to make is when you take care of a sheep, hopefully, Lord willing, you're praying for those sheep. You say, Lord, I don't want anything to happen to those sheep. And God will give you a burden for those sheep. And you'll love his sheep. And you want to take care of his sheep. And what you're doing is you're keeping your heart right. You don't even realize it. Because what you're doing, you're praying. Hey, God, hey, please bless my Sunday school people. Hey, God, please bless my bus workers. Hey, God, let me see a soul save my neighbor. She's not saved. She hasn't been saved for a while. But I go to food bank, and she wants to come to food bank. And I hear this thing about food bank. And she tells me about she wants to come to food bank. And I say, come on. And then now she might come to church. And you start praying for your neighbor. Listen, folks, when you are in the ministry, when you're ministering, when you are taking care of a sheep, you start praying for a sheep. You get a burden for a sheep. And that keeps your heart right. And you get promoted. Man, it's a win-win situation, folks. It's a win-win situation when you take care of his sheep. It will help keep your heart right. It will help keep you in your Bible more if you have to do a lesson or if you have to share the plan of salvation with them. It will hopefully help you to pray more as you pray for those who you minister to. And keeping your heart right will keep you from sin and help you to keep the rest of your life right. It really will. Because it all starts with the heart. Now listen, when your heart's right, everything will just kind of fall into place. Man, your marriage will be right, your friends will be right, everything else will be right. Listen, I have a wonderful wife over there, and she's a blessing to me, but I tell you something, I know my marriage wouldn't be what it would be if I wasn't ministering to people. I'm not talking about being in the ministry, I'm not talking about that. But just taking care of God's sheep. If I didn't take care of God's sheep, I don't know if I'd be a good husband to her, or a good father to my kids. It's not me, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm looking for the manual. I still haven't found it yet. You know, okay, I'm winging it every day. I throw the grass in the window. Okay, go this way. No, I'm joking. But listen, I believe with all my heart, me just ministering to people. I'm not talking about being in the ministry. I thank God I am, but just ministering to people, having a Sunday school class where I love them all my heart. I love those people in that class. Just being a minister in teen church or in you, whatever you're doing, whatever people you're ministering to. Just doing those things that I've done, I believe with all my heart, that has kept my heart right, which has kept my marriage right, and kept me being a father right. And you all folks know, if you're married or you have kids, you know how difficult it can be at times. And sometimes you pull your hair out. And I don't have teenagers yet, praise the Lord. But that's joking. I love our teenagers, so they're blessing me. It will keep your heart right. God will promote you when you take care of his sheep. And number four, God will strengthen you when you take care of his sheep. God will strengthen you when you take care of his sheep. Go to Psalm chapter 1, if you would. Psalm chapter 1. Look at verse 1 to 3. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in this season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It takes time to take care of his sheep, the people that you're ministering. It takes time. And the more time you spend doing God's work, the less time you have to do wrong. Listen, the Bible is a very popular saying, idle minds, devil's workshop. And if you're spending your time taking care of God's sheep, if you're spending time on Saturday out, helping out, Tuesdays out, someone in on Sundays in the classroom, or any day of the week just doing something for God and helping the people of this church, ministering to them in some way, the longer you spend taking care of those people, taking care of those sheep, you might just start finding out that you get hooked on those people. You might start getting hooked on those people. And that will strengthen you like that tree planted by the rivers of water. Man, I love my Sunday school class. I'm not saying that because I teach it, but I felt the same way when I was in Sunday school class up at Northwest Bible Baptist Church. I remember being under Brother Schwarga in Sunday school class. Man, I love being in that class. I love being with other people. I love the fellowship, the camaraderie. Man, I love that closeness you get with other people in the class. There's nothing like being in that Sunday school class. And I know the more time I spend around those people, the more I get hooked on those people. The more I pray for those people. I mean, I probably annoy some of those people. I call them 2 or 3 times a week. How's your problem going? Are you getting things right? They're probably hanging up on the phone with me or looking at the caller ID now, not picking up the phone when I call them. But listen, I love the people I'm with. I love being around those people. I'm not talking as a teacher, but I'm talking as someone who's in a Sunday school class. And listen, folks, when you are in a Sunday school class, you're helping, ministering, you're on a bus route, you're a soul winner, you're trying to do something to help those people, God's sheep, you'll eventually get hooked on those people. And you'll eventually find yourself, you spend more time trying to help those people. And that will help strengthen you, like that tree planted by the river of water. It ain't going to move when a storm comes. It's strong. It's in there. It takes a while for the tree to grow, but it will grow. It will grow. And Father, and the next point, taking care of his sheep will encourage the next generation to do the same. The last point, taking care of his sheep will encourage the next generation to do the same. Go to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Look at verses 1 and 2. Second Kings 22, verse 1 and 2. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned out aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, folks, I don't know if David was a direct positive example on him. I don't know if Josiah looked to David and heard the stories about David, but I do know based on those verses that he went in the ways of his father David. He didn't walk to the right hand or he walked to the left hand. I like to think that maybe when he was a kid, Josiah was a kid, he heard his mom and dad talk about that King David who walked right, that King David who had a heart for God, that King David who wasn't afraid to take care of his father's sheep. And Josiah, when he became king, he said, you know what? I'm going the way David went. And I tell you what, folks, when you stay taking care of the sheep, you never know. Not only might you be raising the next D.L. Moody in your Sunday school class or on your bus route, but you might be helping the next person who might take over your Sunday school class or take your bus route when you're too old to do it yourself or the Lord calls you to move you on and do something else. And you might be even helping the next generation. Listen, folks, when you take care of the sheep, that will encourage the next generation to do the same. It really will. It might just be that one of his sheep, God's sheep, someone who you're ministering to, you're training to take control of the sheep and follow in your footsteps. They might not be the one. They might be the next person to be that bus captain like you're doing right now, or that bus worker like you're doing right now. When you run out, hey, bus worker, when you run out, knock on those doors. I called Ben Payne today. I was talking to him for a little bit. I said, hey, Ben, how you doing? He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing early wake-up. I said, what in the world is that? He said, well, we go out to the house before the bus comes and knocks on all the kids' doors and make sure they're up. So they actually come to the bus like they're supposed to. And Ben was busy, he's working. I wonder when Ben gets on that bus and his kids start getting on the bus and Ben's running out later on and knocking more doors and the kids on the bus are seeing Ben running to the door to door and knocking on the doors trying to get kids to get up and come on the bus. Maybe some of those kids on the bus saying, whoa, I want to do that. Man, that Ben's fast. Whew, he can fly. And he has a bad knee. He's probably not fast, but he's pretty fast, I'm sure. But man, Ben's probably running. And those kids say, I want to be the next Ben. Hey, listen, Sunday school teacher, you might have a kid in your class that you're teaching those kids in your class, and you know what? You might think, they're not getting it. It's not getting to them. I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall when I teach. I feel like when I'm soul winning, no one's getting it. When I feel like I'm soul winning, no one's getting saved or people aren't turned on to God like they should be. What's going on, God? But you never know. Maybe you have a daughter or a son who sees you go out soul winning every week and want to say, you know what? I want to do what Daddy does. I want to do what Mommy does. I want to be a soul winner just like them. Hey, listen, folks, you're in Sunday school class, you've been Sunday school kids, and I want to be a Sunday school teacher just like him or just like her. You never know what you're doing. You might be preparing the next generation. Man, there's nothing better. Nothing better than the next generation. I tell you what, it'd be awesome. I remember talking to Brother Griffin one time, and we were talking about Island Pass, and he said, man, it'd be great if we have some other ushers coming up here and want to be ushers one day. Brother Griffin's a young buck. He'll be around another 100 years, I'd imagine. But 100 years from now, when he finally retires, someone has to take his place. Well, that man's faithful every week, doing everything he needs to do to help Pastor Angel. I mean, things go smooth. You never know, someone's in the audience saying, you know what? Brother Griffin, he's a blessing, he's faithful. I want to do that someday. He's helping the next generation. Listen, when you take care of a sheep, it's a win-win situation. It's never about us as teachers or bus workers or bus captains or soul winners. It's all about him. It's not our sheep, it's his sheep. We're just taking care of it. But when we do, God blesses us tremendously. He blesses us so much. Now, I said in the beginning of the message, and I'm just about done here, I said in the beginning of this message, if you're in this room and you aren't in the position where you're ministering to some people or taking care of some of God's sheep, this applies to you too. And you might ask, how does this apply to me, Brother Jason? I don't teach a Sunday school class. I'm not on a bus route. I don't go soul winning. I don't have the time to go soul winning, or just my health won't allow me to, or whatever. But John 4:35 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Listen, folks, there's a whole harvest out there. If you don't have any sheep, the Lord's not putting you in a position to have some sheep, you can go out and get one. The harvest out there. And hey folks, spring program is coming right around the corner. Man, it'd be great if we get started a few weeks before spring program. Maybe does your schedule allow you to go soul winning, or maybe whatever reason you just can't go soul winning, or maybe you can't help out in the ministry like you want to help out. But hey, spring program is coming. A great time to jump in and get involved. And say, listen, I want to help some of God's sheep. I want that blessing. There's nothing wrong saying, God, I want that blessing of helping your sheep. And man, get started early. Get started early. When spring program's coming, you'll be going on 8 cylinders, and you'll be doing, and you want something for God. And you know what? When He gives you a soul, because He will one day, He'll give you a soul. Nothing better than that. And it was all worth it. It was all worth it. So spring program is coming. Go out and win a soul. Pray for them, to come to church and be a friend to them and help them grow. It can happen, and they will be your sheep to take care of. What a joy. Let me close this illustration. I'll be done. When I was in Bible college, Pastor Gomez had wanted more bus drivers. They were short on bus drivers. The routes were growing. They needed more bus workers for the bus routes of the college. So brother Dr. Michael Hall, Brother McStad, after chapel one day, he made an announcement that Pastor Gomez, Preacher Gomez, wants some of anybody who's over 25 years old to get their CDL license so you can be a bus driver. I said, sure, why not? Okay, I mean, kind of fun to drive a bus, so I never drove one before. But Brother Stacy Marriott, he works up there. He kind of helped me backing up, going forward, and all this other stuff I had to do with the bus. And eventually, I got my CDL. And listen, I got it, and I never regretted it. Now, granted, I got our teams lost half the time, but that's okay. That wasn't a regret. That was just a long routine activity. That's all that was. That's all it was. Seeing the sights of Piatone or Peoria. You go Peoria to Burbank all the time. People do it. They build a new highway somewhere. It's probably doing the same thing anyway. Well, listen, I mean it. Listen, here's what I'm trying to say, my point. When I was in Bible college, I got the CDL because my preacher at the time, Pastor Gomez, asked me to. I never regretted it, and I can't tell you how many activities we wouldn't have been able to go on because I didn't have a CDL. A lot of times I try to call people, they just have things going on. They're busy or they're working or whatever. And if I didn't have a CDL, we'd be sitting, in the gym watching the grass grow. We'd be another grass-growing teen activity. All right. But no, we had to do fun activities and go places and do some amazing things. And the thing is, here's the amazing thing about that whole point. Back in Bible college, I got the opportunity to work with Brother Mark Chambers, who's pastoring up at DeKalb. He was my bus captain. I was on his route in Belvedere. And I remember I had my CDL license. There were a few times when Brother Massey, good man up there who drives the bus faithfully, good layman in the church, Brother Massey couldn't do it. And so Brother Mark said, hey, Brother Jason, I need someone to get our kids. And Brother Massey can't do it. I'm sure I can find someone, but usually it's hard to find someone at church. People are so busy. Everybody's going different directions. If he couldn't find a bus driver, no one was getting God's sheep. And because I just did what the preacher said, and I got my CDL. I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace, folks. I understand that. But because I was just faithful, and I wanted to help some people out, I got a CDL to be a blessing in some way. I was able to fill in and drive for Brother Mark, and didn't get lost, to Belvedere and back and get those kids. And Brother Mark preached in the bus, I couldn't preach, I was driving, but Brother Mark preached in the bus, and we come back to the church, and some amazing teenagers got saved. And that was a blessing. And here's the thing I'm trying to say. Folks, hey, listen, it'd be great if you're not helping out in a way, and you can, you have the opportunity. Hey, listen, you say, Bro Jason, I'm not helping out anywhere. I'm not in a Sunday school class. I'm not on a bus route. I'm not a bus driver. I'm not really helping out really in anything. It'd be great if you say, hey, just jump in. Find a place. I know Brother Caleb, they're looking for CDL drivers. Man, get your CDL, help out. You'll never regret it. Hey, because when you take care of God's sheep, you will never regret it. The blessings are out of this world. He will promote you. He will use you. He will change you. He will make you grow. You'll see your family get better. I promise you, the Lord will bless you. He will bless you a million times over if you just simply take care of His sheep. Take care of His sheep. Ask you all in closing, just take care of His sheep. You'll never regret it. Heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would. Can I ask, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is anyone who can say, that can say, Brother Jason, I have some sheep that I take care of, whether I'm on a bus route or in a Sunday school class or some kind of ministry I help out here at this great church. And by God's grace, I won't quit. I'm going to stay taking care of those sheep. Would you raise your hands and ask your testimony? I'm not quitting. Man, praise the Lord. Wish a preacher could see that. It would encourage his soul. And I ask another question for you. Who can say, Brother Jason, I don't have any sheep to take care of? For one reason or another, I just am not in ministry to help out with some sheep. I'm not in a Sunday school class or in a bus route. I'm not really helping out soul winning. But I'd like to get involved. I'm not going to call your name. I promise I won't embarrass you. Would you raise your hand and say, Brother Jason, I want to get involved some way. Keep your hands up for a second. I want to get involved some way. Man, that's a great testimony. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, can I ask anybody under the sound of my voice, say, Brother Jason, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know this wasn't a salvation message, but if you died today, you don't know for 100% sure you're going to heaven. Would you raise your hand saying, Brother Jason, I'm not saved. I am not saved. Die today, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Okay? Anyone say, Brother Jason, I'm not baptized. Okay? And finally, anyone say, Brother Jason, I've spoken to preacher Brother Caleb about church membership, and I would like to come and join this church. Would you raise your hand? Okay. In a second, the piano music is going to play. And when it plays, I'm going to ask you all to stand. And when it stands, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. The Lord spoke in your heart about some of those things. Would you come forward? Whether you're helping out, taking care of his sheep some way that you won't quit. And if you're not taking care of his sheep, maybe you want to get involved and take care of his sheep. As the music plays, you come. Please stand.